ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 61, chapter entitled Lord Balaram Slays Rukmi. We will be reading from text 13 to 18. So text 13,
Viraha Chandraha Ashvasenaha च चित्रगुः वेगवान् वृषः आमः शङ्कुः वसुः श्रीमन् कुन्तिः नाग्नजितेः सुताः वीरश्चन्द्रोश्वसेनश्च चित्रगुर्वेगवान् वृषः आमः शङ्कुर्वसुः श्रीमान् कुन्तीर्नाग्नजिते सुताः वीरश्चन्द्रोश्वसेनश्च चित्रगुर्वेगवान् वृषः आमः शङ्कुर्वसुः श्रीमान् कुन्तीर्नाग्नजिते सुताः वीरश्चन्द्रोश्वसेनश्च चित्रगुर्वेगवान् वृषः आमः शङ्कुर्वसुः श्रीमान् कुन्तीर्नाग्नजिते सुताः। वीरश्चन्द्रोश्वसेनश्च चित्रगुर्वेगवान् वृषः आमः शङ्कुर्विशश्रीमान् कुन्तीर्नाग्नजिते सुताः। वीरश्चन्द्रोश्वसेनश्च चित्रगुर्वेगवान् वृषः आमः शङ्कुर्वसुः श्रीमान् कुन्तीर्नाग्नजिते सुताः।
माताजी,
वीरश्चन्द्र अश्वसेन च, वीर चंद्र एंड अश्वसेना, चित्रगुह वेगवान वृषः, चित्रगु वेगवान एंड वृष, आम शंकु वसुहु, आम शंकु एंड वसु, श्रीमान ऑप्युलेंट, कुंती ही कुंती, नाग्नजिते ऑफ नाग्नजिति सुताह द सन्स
translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sons of Nagnajiti were Veera, Chandra, Ashwasena, Chitragu, Vegavan, Vrusha, Ama, Shanku, Vasu and the opulent Kunti. Text 14. Shrutah Kavir Vrusho Veera Subahur Bhadra Ekalaha Shantir Darsha Purnamasaha Kali Kalindya Somako Varaha. Shruta Kavi Vrusha Veera Subahu, Bhadra, Shanti, Darsha and Purnamasa were the sons of Kalindi. Her youngest son was Somaka. Praghosho Gatravan Simho Balah Prabala Urdhagah Madhrya Putra Mahashaktihi Saha Ojo Parajitah. Madhra's sons were Praghosha, Gatravan, Simha, Bala, Prabala, Urdhaga, Mahashakti, Saha, Oja and Aparajita. Purport, Madhra is also known as Lakshmana. Text 16. Vruko harsho nilo gridhro vardhon nada evacha mahamsa pavano vannir mitravinda atmaja akshudihi. Mitravinda's sons were Vruka, Harsha, Anila, Gridhra, Vardhana, Unnada, Mahamsa, Pavana, Vanni and Kshudhi. Sangramajit Bhrat Senaha Sura Praharano Arijiti Jaya Subhadro Bhadraya Vama Ayushcha Satyakaha. Sangramajit Bhrat Sena Sura Praharana Arijit Jaya and Subhadra were the sons of Bhadra together with Vama Ayur and Satyaka. Text 18. Deeptimam Stamrata Tadya Rohinya Stanaya Hare Pradyumna Chaniruddho Bhud Rukmavatya Mahabalaha Putriyantu Rukmino Rajan Namna Bhojakate Pure. Translation. Deeptiman, Tamratapta and others were the sons of Lord Krishna and Rohini. Lord Krishna's son Pradyumna fathered the greatly powerful Aniruddha in the womb of Rukmavati, the daughter of Rukmi. O king, this took place when they were living in the city of Bhojakata. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna's eight principal queens are Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Nagnajiti, Kalindi, Lakshmana, Mitravinda and Bhadra. Having mentioned all their sons, Shukadeva Goswami now refers to the sons of the other 16,100 queens by mentioning the two principal sons of Queen Rohini, the foremost of the remaining queens. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I would like to beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, specifically in particular His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, His Grace Braj Bihari Prabhu, His Grace Madhvacharya Prabhu, His Grace Akin Sankrishna Prabhu, Nanda Dural Prabhu, in fact all of you all, you know, and also all the our Vidyapeet graduates. You all have studied Bhagavatam much more intensively and read it than I can ever hope for even in any time in this lifetime. And I am very thankful for His Grace Gopinath Chandra Prabhu's presence here. His health is not keeping well, his health is very bad, but still he is making a point coming to hear Bhagavatam class. His presence here itself enthuses the speaker to speak something, just his presence here. His gaze upon the speaker is such that he is hanging on to every word that is going to drop out of the mouth. So that makes the speaker little more encouraged to speak. When I read the purport, I was like, what do I speak on this? It's all like yesterday, His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Now that is a very big class act to live up to yesterday. I mean, it was totally shastric, and he kept to the theme of the verse, the theme of the purport, and he spoke, I mean, succinctly, just what is needed. And while I was hearing the class, I was sitting next to His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and I told him, I mean, tomorrow I have to speak, and what do I follow up to this? And the purport is also such, I don't know what I am going to speak. So Gaur Gopal Prabhu just encouraged me and said, you just speak the way you speak, you know, just keep to your style and you will be okay. So I don't know. Let's see, here goes. Please bear with me. So yesterday His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gave us a very nice understanding about this contemporary Vedic definition of success. He spoke about the Vedic definition of success. What is meant, what was it meant to be for a person to be successful in life? Like, it's so much at loggerheads with what we see to around us today. Like, he was talking about the concept of debt, rin, Pitrarin, Rishirin, Devarin. So for a person to be successful, he should be debt free. That's where he started the class. And if you look at our contemporary society today, it's a society of credit cards and interest free loans and all these things. I mean, debt on a very gross level. And there it was discussed about not even having debts on a very subtle level. So Krishna had so many sons. In fact, Bhagavatam states that from each of his queens he produced 10 sons. From each of his queens. So that itself, 16,100 into and 8 into 10, that itself is like a massive number. And that was in keeping with not having Pitrarin. So Krishna, he epitomizes the Vedic definition of success. So if we see in Krishna's pastimes, it is not only that Krishna is a symbol of great success in all these forms, as success was defined, or success is defined in the Vedic scriptures. So in all those sense, Krishna was very much successful. But also, Krishna, he is, you know, setting the standards. Like, for example, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yadyad acharati sreshthas, tattad eve itaro jana. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given, like in Bhagavad Gita courses, we talk about Bhagavad Gita being the manual of life. Manual for this human form of life. For this particular yantra or this machine. We give the example of a TV along with which it is accompanied by a manual. So similarly, this particular machine of the human body is accompanied by a manual, which is in very short encapsulated in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Krishna is giving how to live life. So when Krishna gives this information, it's not that in a classic sense, which is more applicable to persons like me, we are more in the mode of sermonizing, telling others, and rather than actually studying for our own personal practice. But Krishna, when he is giving this Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't forget what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And he actually lives up to the standards that he himself, so even in terms of living up to standards in his own life and his family life. So, we see in Krishna's life, right from Krishna's birth, we have been studying. In Krishna's life, when Krishna was born and then he was taken across, so there are different samskaras, like Lord Krishna talks in the 16th chapter, first verse of Bhagavad Gita. He says about I'll just quote. He talks about Abhayam Sattva Samsuddhir. So this Sattva Samsuddhir, Prabhupada translates as purifications of one's existence. So for purifications of one's existence, in the Vedic scriptures, there have been given the different kinds of purificatory rites that an individual has to go through. An individual living entity has to go through right from the point when that particular living entity is conceived within the womb of the mother. And that particular samskara is called Garbhadhan samskara. From there onwards, there are so many samskaras which take place. And if we see Krishna's pastimes, when he appeared on this planet, not only did he achieve success in terms of, you know, all the achievements, but also he was following the standards which he is going to speak in Bhagavad Gita. He himself set the standards by following them. Like, you know, even though he was in Vrindavan, but still Gargamuni comes from Mathura to perform the Namkaran ceremony. Now, that is one of the 10 samskaras that an individual has to go through. These are one of the important 10 samskaras, Namakaran. Then like that he goes through, and then Krishna is the fountainhead of all knowledge. In form of Bhagavad Gita we see again such superb knowledge, but still he goes to school, Sandipani Muni school, and in the 45th chapter we see that he goes through to the school and he studies 64 arts. Very detailed information is there. There is no need for him to do all these things. But still, he exhibits this because when I was reading this, it struck me that actually there are two aspects to the Lord's pastimes. One aspect, if we see, when the Lord appeared in this world as Lord Ramachandra, he was glorified as Maryada Purushottam. That means the Lord, when he decides to stick to the standards as set by the society or by the Vedic scriptures, then he sets such a high ideal standard that it is really not possible for any common person to emulate them. So in that, in Lord Ramachandra's pastime, he exhibited that as Maryada Purushottam. And then in Lord Krishna's pastime, he is exhibiting the other extreme also, whereby if like people say that if he is God, like, you know, for example, just to give a very mundane example, this person in Indian cricket, there is one person who is known as God of cricket. The God of cricket means when he is on the playing field, he can do anything. You ask him to bowl and he goes and takes wickets. He fields very nicely. Or if he is batting, he smashes the ball to all the corners of the... You tell him to do anything and he is the best at it. He is called the God of cricket. Similarly, when we talk about God, so some people have this concept. God means he should be able to do everything which is defined and which is not defined also. Otherwise, what is the point of being God, you know? Like, there is this saying in the Latin language. In English it means, the king can do no wrong. If he is the king, if he is the sovereign of the country, then rules and regulations do not matter to that person. But then he should be really qualified as a king, not just because of birth. So king shall do no wrong for some earthly kings. So for the supreme personality of Godhead, we cannot have restrictions. We cannot put him within bounds. Okay, this is his limitation. Beyond this he cannot do. These are his rules and regulations. Then there is no meaning to the word God or the supreme. The supreme personality of Godhead means he can do everything within the finite also and beyond that also. And still he can, like, you know, he will still be glorified for it. Like in Lord Krishna's pastimes, he steals butter and is glorified as Makhan Chor. He runs away as a coward from the battlefield and he is glorified as Ran Chod. So every pastime seemingly seems to be like something... A negative, a blot on his character, like he is a coward or he is a thief, common thief. But even those things are so endearing and so charming that even those particular pastimes are glorified. The Lord is glorified for those particular pastimes. So similarly, there are so many pastimes which the Lord did which are totally mind-boggling, like for a small child of 6 year old or something, to lift a massive, huge mountain, which is like, you know, so many miles high, on the tip of the finger. It seems very fantastic, very, you know, beyond, it stretches the envelope of one's imagination. How is it possible? How is it possible that just to lift a mountain, not even just a few thousand meters, they are talking few miles high, it's some miles high. And just not even, I mean, okay, we see weightlifters in Olympics and all, they also lift huge weights, but we can see the exertion on their face, you know, their veins on the neck, they bulge out and are sweating profusely and they are really exerting strength. And Krishna, like, we can see that beautiful painting of Govardhan Dhari, he's like effortlessly, and then all his friends and family members are surrounding him and he is having nice exchanges with all of them. And it's like 7 days of, uninterrupted association for all the residents of Vrindavan with Krishna. No interruption. Because other times, when Krishna would go to the playing fields, pasturing grounds in the morning, the cowherd girlfriends would feel separation. Because now the whole day he is in the pasturing fields, we don't have association. Then his friends, boyfriends who would go with him to the pasturing grounds, they'll be waiting eagerly when Krishna is going to step out of the house and we'll get his association, we'll go to the pasturing grounds, we'll play our games and all those things. So they are waiting eagerly. And as the evening approaches, the eagerness of the cowherd girlfriend and all the gopis who are back home, eagerness for them to, you know, that they will be able to see Krishna again when he walks back from the pasturing grounds, their eagerness starts increasing. And they start looking towards the path coming back from the pasturing fields. And they are all eagerly waiting when Krishna's, you know, first glimpse, who will get the first glimpse of Krishna when he walks back from the forest. They are eagerly waiting for that association to, you know, so that they can get. And the cowherd boyfriends, they are feeling now, oh, now we will lose the association of Krishna. But these 7 days and seven nights during the Govardhan Leela, when Krishna was lifting that entire massive hill, all the cowherd boyfriends, all the gopis, everybody, elderly gopis, everybody had the association of Krishna to their full satisfaction. Day and night, 24/7. Uninterrupted association of Krishna. So, it was not like some sort of a, you know, as I said, a weightlifter trying to lift heavy weights, veins bulging out of the neck. It was effortless. So, when Krishna wants to do something, he really stretches the envelope of imagination. We just cannot even think about it. Or that pastime where Krishna goes to Mathura and he goes into the wrestling arena, and there is a description of Mushtika and Chanura, and at the same time there is a description of Krishna and Balaram. So Mushtika and Chanura, they are like described as such heavy muscle bound wrestlers, you know, heavy muscles on their body. And Krishna and Balaram, they are described as, you know, young boys with nice snigdha vapu. Their description is very like, you know, just two boys with very charming personalities and all. And it is very difficult for us to understand that two young boys with such delicate features and delicate bodily structure, they just kill those wrestlers as if like, you know, just like a totally effortlessly. No effort at all. Mushtika and Charuna. So it's very difficult for us to think about all these things about Krishna's pastimes. But Krishna, when it comes to, so in Krishna's pastimes, because he exhibits such pastimes where we cannot, logic and reason totally fail when we try to understand Krishna's pastimes. Certain pastimes in this, as when he comes as Krishna, logic and reason fail. You just have to have faith. We just have to have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and for him, whether it is lifting Govardhan Hill or stealing butter or running away from the, everything is, you know, absolute and transcendental. Nothing is something special that he is doing. So Krishna's pastimes are known as, in Krishna, because he can do all kinds of leela. So therefore, he is known as Leela Purushottam. But actually, in Krishna's pastime, he also exhibits this concept of Maryada Purushottam. He is like, you know, there's two aspects of his pastimes. Even though he exhibits pastimes which apparently go beyond logic and reasoning, go beyond the norms of society, like he goes to the forest in the dead of the night to have rasa dance with the gopis. So this is a topic of heated debate and discussion throughout the world. Always a hot topic. There are so many people who are for it, so many people who are against it. But the point is, society, according to society norms, it was not something which was done. But still, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything, and what is that in Ishopanishad? He is apapa vidham. We cannot apply some sort of, you know, mundane society norms, because he is the source of all the whatever scriptural knowledge, whatever scriptural regulation. He is the source, and he is, you know, the ultimate The source of everything, even the source of the rules and regulations and the scriptural injunctions. So when he performs rasa dance, that is why Srila Prabhupada in the introduction to Bhagavatam, he says that unless one reads the goes through the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, he will not be able to appreciate Krishna and his pastimes which are given in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada advises the readers to first go systematically, verse by verse, purport by purport, through the first 9 cantos and then read the 10th canto. Because by the end of 9th canto, the individual reader, Prabhupada says, will be sufficiently God-realized. And then he will understand what is the position of Krishna. And then he will be able to appreciate the pastimes of Krishna. So, not only is the Lord doing things, activities which are like, you know, beyond the scope of logic and reasoning, beyond the scope of societal norms, but also he performs activities throughout his life. In this 10th canto we see, which are according to scriptural injunctions. He sticks to scriptural injunctions. Like this particular case which His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was saying, that he achieves the Vedic definition of success. What is the Vedic definition of success? That the person does not incur any, he does not have any debt. Debt in the form of pitruvrin is in the form of, if you don't have progeny which will continue the in the lineage, then you are indebted to your forefathers. So Krishna is doing that. Also in his own life and the life of his sons, we see he follows all these samskaras which have been given. Different samskaras which are there for a person, garbhadan samskar, then namakaran. There is also one very nice samskar which is called as niskramanam, that is taking the child out for the first time. So even we see in Krishna's case, you know, taking the child out for the first time, we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case, Prabhupada writes in the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there used to be a separate room in the house which used to be kept for the delivery, and the child and the mother would stay in that room for a certain number of days, and only after a certain number of days the child and the mother would come out. And even after that, Prabhupada says in Bengal the tradition was that at least for 4 months the mother and the child would stay within the house. They will not come out. Now, in today's day and age, we can't understand that, because the delivery takes place in the hospital, which is outside the house, right in the first place. So you have to go back to the house after a few days, after the discharge takes place. But there is a very, very sound logic to why this particular, this is there. Because when the child is small, you know, very small child, very small baby, it can be very easily startled by loud noises or bright lights or sudden changes in air pressure. Like, I mean, this is my observation. Whenever I have traveled by air, if there is a small baby on the flight, that baby always cries. Always cries. If any of you all who ever travel by air, you can always observe this. A small baby on a flight always cries. Because when the flight takes off, when it is ascending or descending, pressure inside the aircraft cabin keeps changing. And we can experience that in our ear. We understand that pressure is changing and we can equalize the pressure by swallowing. You know? But small child doesn't understand what is happening. It feels the pain, but it doesn't understand what is happening. How do I correct this situation? You know? And then it cries. It always happens. So, I mean, in today's day and age, it's not... people say, oh, these are what outlandish concepts, what 4 months keep the child inside. No, you have to expose them to the world as soon as possible. I mean, in a city like Mumbai, I see mothers with small toddlers in their arms riding pillion behind a two-wheeler, behind on the two-wheeler, balancing the child, balancing themselves and everything. But that child is being affected by the honking of the horns around, loud sounds, some headlights or the street lamps, bright lights, and how it manifests in later life, all those effects, in what kind of health issues. Nobody has studied them, but I'm sure there must be some correlation between the strange health issues that we see among very young people in very young age, in today's modern age, and this kind of early exposure to bright lights and loud noises and, you know, changes in air pressure. Very subtle things. So, different. Then another very startling fact which came to my observation during when I was reading for that Krishna, if you see Krishna's pastime, till the 45th chapter, where Krishna actually goes through the Upanayanam ceremony, Dvija, as a Dvija, he goes to Sandipani Muni school to start his studies. So, in the series of sanskaras that a person has to go through in life, Upanayan, and then he goes to school, and then after studying, when he finishes school, that is called as Samavartan, and only after Samavartan is the person then he takes a decision, whether I have to continue as a brahmachari or I get married. Then Vivaha Samskar takes place. So even in Krishna's pastimes we see 45th chapter, Krishna goes to Sandipani Muni school, and only after that, within a few chapters after that, Rukmini sends a message to Lord Krishna, 52nd chapter. And after that, Krishna marries Rukmini. So even there, Krishna upholds that tradition. You know, he first goes through Upanayanam, his studies with the Gurukul, then Samavartan, and then Vivaha Samskar. So then Rukmini. So even though Krishna had so many pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, but all those pastimes, as we understand from the commentaries of the Acharyas, all those pastimes are in Parakiras, they are not in Swakiras. It is only after his Samavartan, graduation from school, and then first Rukmini sends that message through the Brahmana messenger in 52nd chapter, and then Krishna marries Rukmini. So even though he had so many pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan, the title of Krishna's principal queen goes to Rukmini. Because, you know, so therefore we see that Lord Krishna, his pastimes are not only just, you know, he is Leela Purushottam also. He is not only that Leela Purushottam, that he performs Leelas which are so mind-boggling, but he also has aspects of being holding up the Maryada. So therefore, actually, I was thinking that Krishna is actually we can describe as Purna Purushottam. Both aspects of Leela and Maryada. So, I mean, to understand the Leela aspect of Krishna's pastimes and to understand the Maryada aspect of Krishna's pastime, for a person like me, it's not so easy, but we need a guide or a guru. And it is only due to the books of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada that we can understand the difference and appreciate. So, Lord Krishna's pastimes have both Leela aspect and Maryada aspect. So, Leela aspect has to be appreciated. And basically, those aspects, the Leela aspects, are there in order to attract the conditioned living entities. So, Krishna performs such supernatural, superhuman pastimes so that he can attract, like even in today's world, you know, superhuman. Nowadays, you know, you see the most of the Hollywood or Bollywood productions. The whoever is the central hero he has to have some certain superhuman qualities, then only people like it. People don't like the hero of a movie who is a wimp, you know, who just runs away from. And usually, those who are depicted as superheroes, you know, even in comics or whether in Hollywood movies, their alter egos are generally wimps. I hope you all understand what I am saying. They have alter egos, they are generally depicted as wimps. So, in contrast to their alter ego, the superhero stands out. Oh, he's so strong. In contrast, in normal, real, day-to-day life, that person runs away. If there's a loud bang, he's startled, you know. And he doesn't do any chivalrous acts around his, girlfriend or whatever. He stays away. He doesn't confront anyone. He's not confrontational. He runs away. But when he takes on the persona of the superhero, then he's everything which he is not otherwise. He becomes very daring. He takes on 100 people at a time and bashes them up easily. So it's like that. So we need that kind of a thing is even psychology is even exploited by Hollywood and Bollywood productions to attract common masses. Like we know there is this personality in South Indian films who is absolutely ugly to look at. Absolutely ugly in real life. Not a shred of hair on his head, of course, it's another, not a shred of hair on his head, nothing. But still, he portrays superhuman, superhero-like characteristics. And then his fans build temples to him. You know, they build temples to him. Even though in real life, he is absolutely nothing like what he portrays on the silver screen. So this psychology is being used by Hollywood and Bollywood people to attract common masses. So Krishna, who is, you know, yasya, Mattai Smritir Jnanam Apohanamcha, from whom all knowledge comes, you know, all remembrance, all forgetfulness, everything comes from him. He doesn't know this psychology, he doesn't understand this psychology. So when he performs all these leela aspects of his pastimes, supernatural aspects, some things which, you know, he just cannot understand. We see on the, I'm really surprised with the modern people, you know. They see on the silver screen and they pay their hard-earned money to see that on the silver screen. But you tell that Krishna also did pastimes like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How can it be? How can a small child, 6-year-old, how can he do all these things? And when they know that whatever they see on the screen is actually done with the help of computer graphics, and they know everything, how it is done. But still, you know, they are ready to pay their hard-earned money to go and see that. And they don't want to believe this. And this leela aspect is just to attract the masses. And there is other aspect of maryada, where Krishna, even though apparently he goes beyond the envelope of people's capacity to understand through logic and reasoning, but still, he does it within, you know, trying to keep the maryada intact, in the sense that, you know, as I said, in his own life, going through all the various samskaras as given in the Vedic scriptures. Not only that, even in the later chapters we will see, in the 70th chapter, you know, there is a description of Krishna's day, how the day begins, when he gets up. What is the first thing he does? You know, the first thing that, you know, we do is we have to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as we wake up. Now Krishna, he himself is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is said, he gets up and then he meditates upon himself. It is actually there in the Bhagavatam, 17th chapter, a description of how he lives his day. You know, one day in the life of Krishna. The whole day. He does this, then he gets up, then this, whole day. Blow by blow account. So, when it comes to leela aspect, so there are, for us, the leela aspect of the Lord's pastime is for appreciation and to get attracted. And the maryada aspect is for us to follow. for us to try to imbibe within our own lives. But unfortunately, in today's day and age, it's inverted. You know, people just appreciate the maryada aspect. Oh, it's nice. It's nice he did like that. But they want to, the leela aspect they want to follow. They want to try to imbibe the leela aspect. So we have to try, and with the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, we have to try and give out this message more and more to the world, so that they will be able to get attracted to the leela aspect of the Lord and aspire to follow or imbibe the maryada aspect of the Lord's pastimes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or queries, comments would be very appreciated, very much appreciated. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada.